I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 18. Revelation 2:18 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the heart, reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of the Satan, and they speak, as they speak, I will put upon them none other burden, but that which I have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Father, we thank you for the instructions that you gave to these various churches in Asia Minor so many years ago, and yet we see some of these same things in Christendom today and in churches that ought to know better. And Father, I pray that we might faithfully stand for the truth. And Father, that we would not make the compromises that the Thyatiran church made. Father, we pray for our nation, a nation that has a government that wants to continually attack the truths of the Bible. And Lord, I pray that you might give boldness and courage to those that are in government to take a stand for you. We thank you for those that are. And we pray that you might bring about a revival in America, and that we might see not only individuals, but churches that are once again solid and true and faithful in reaching out to the lost. Father, we so desperately need this. And Lord, I pray that we might be in a position that you can bless us as a nation and as a church. Thank you for what you will accomplish now. And we do pray for Brother Mike that you will continue to strengthen him and help him as he recovers. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're looking at the fourth of the seven churches that Jesus examined for their loyalty to him as the head of the church. It's noteworthy that Jesus sees the nature of each church that goes beyond a first glance. He actually gazes, he searches the hearts. The Lord is described as one with eyes of fire and feet like fine brass. It goes back to Revelation chapter 1, where we see the risen Christ as the one who is going to be there in the end times as well as now. He was about to bring his judgment on those in the church that were following another leader, Jezebel. Jezebel in the Old Testament was infamous wife of King Ahab of Israel. And Ahab was a man that was a milquetoast leader that allowed his wife to lead him deeper and deeper into sin. Jezebel was a supporter of the prophets of Baal that called for the sacrifice of infants and the promotion of fornication within Israel with their pagan neighbors. God exposed Baalism in Israel through Elijah's contest with Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 1 Kings 18 at Mount Carmel. Do you remember that Elijah comes and in that challenge with the prophets of Baal, he says to the people of Israel, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" What were those things that were stretching Israel apart? They wanted to synchronize Baal worship with worship of Jehovah. That is not what God will ever permit. He is only the one true God. There is no other. And Isaiah made that very, very clear. And so we find here that these things were going on in Baal worship. And Baal worship was crushed at that time, but the apostasy of Israel was repeated multiple times, as well as the chastisement of the Lord on the nation. Thyatira was mentioned in the Bible previously as the home of Lydia that came to the Lord in Philippi. She was a seller of purple. Lydia had her heart open to the gospel through Paul's teaching of the word. It would appear that Lydia had moved from Thyatira to Philippi. After she was saved and baptized, she desired to be faithful servant of the Lord. She was first convert of Europe in the beginning of a new outpost in heaven in Philippi. We do not know if Lydia was a member of the church at Thyatira, but we do know that the Lord thoroughly examined the church at Thyatira, and it was of the Lord that she spared, Lydia was spared of a church of being invaded by evil. The Lord moved Lydia to Philippi to give her an opportunity to hear the gospel. But tonight I want us to observe five defects that were within the church at Thyatira. First of all, in verse 19, it was a church that had much devotion, a great deal of love, but without a lot of direction. We find there, he says, "I know thy works." Okay? They were zealous people. They had works that were going on. And he says, "and charity." Evidently, there was some godly love there within the church amongst some. And he says, "and service." It was being displayed in service and faith. And they had patience, they had endurance, and thy works. Now, I was puzzled. Why does it say works in the beginning of the word verse here, and then again at the second time it mentions works again? And evidently, they were so zealous that it was almost like they had this in mind, that they were going to serve God, they were going to do these things, but it was zeal without adherence to truth. And that is a problem. It was the opposite of the Ephesian church. The Ephesian church was weak in love, yet faithful to judge the false teachers. Thyatira was growing in love, but too tolerant of false doctrine. Certainly, unloving orthodoxy and loving compromise are both hateful to God. And so this was the condition here in the Thyatira church, of those things that were good, that were a part of them. But they were lacking the right kind of leadership. I read one commentary that said that possibly the pastor of this church, maybe his wife was even the Jezebel. Can you imagine that? And that was perhaps one of the things that was happening, but we don't know that for certain. But at any rate, they were not following the right leadership. They were going in a direction of Jezebel rather than in the direction that God would have them to go to be strong for Him. It is evident from the Lord's examination that they had allowed different leadership to guide them. There are many in leadership of local church that do not meet the qualifications of God today. We have women in places of leadership in many churches in America. I know at one time, and I just saw that the Presbyterian Church is switching to a man pastor, I think, if I remember right, seeing on their signboard here in Boone. But I'll never forget in Madison, South Dakota, when we were there, there was a woman pastor of the American Baptist Church, and I think the American Baptist Church here in Boone also had a woman preacher. And certainly, I thought that was very interesting. She was ordained in the American Baptist circles in 1936. She would actually go to the rest home services and wear a crucifix. And I remember trying to witness to one of her parishioners, and this man got upset with me, and he says, "You're talking about sin and how bad that is." He says, "My pastor never talks about those things." Folks, do we need to see ourselves as God sees us? Absolutely. And here was a man who was religious, but he was lost within a Baptist church. And I know the American Baptist Church is a very liberal church, but certainly they have followed the wrong leadership as well. And so we find here that those in the leadership in the local church did not meet the standards of godly leadership. Jezebel was likely a clever but dangerous person in the church at Thyatira. She was in open defiance of biblical directive concerning a pastor teacher. You look in it in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it says very clearly that it is be the husband of one wife. And certainly that was violated. She called herself also a prophetess. This is the book of Revelation that was being written as perhaps the last book of the Bible to be written. Inspiration was almost complete. And here was a woman who was giving revelation beyond God's revelation. And in fact, that revelation that was giving was going against God's direction. Now, thank God for every good woman that knows the truth and speaks the truth as well. But this was not the case in Thyatira. She would not have such control without some support within the church. She likely had an influential group, including both male and female, that collaborated with her. She was influential and directed God's people away from His word towards dangerous immorality. And so they had devotion, but they were going in the wrong direction. Secondly, another defect was they had toleration without limitation. And we see that in verse 20. It says, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel." They were tolerating what she was doing and what she was promoting. And they were permitting her to be a spokesman within the church rather than rebuking her or disciplining her. Many today believe in the philosophy that everyone ought to be allowed to do their thing. No, we live our lives according to God's truth. Amen? Not what we feel like, but what God says. And there is a permissivism unfortunately, in Christian homes today where they say, we will allow these things that never used to be allowed. And certainly, I remember youth pastor when I was in Bible college, he used to cite a quote, and he said, we first endure, then we pity, and finally we embrace. And certainly that is the way of toleration. There is a need to set our boundaries by the word of God, and rebels prosper without restraint, the restraint of God's word. Some churches boast that they have grown out of their narrower views into a broader outlook. A lot of things look mellow just before they spoil. Isn't that right? I think you ladies know that in the kitchen. Thyatira, for all her love, develops and gets the mentality with everything and everybody is acceptable, including even the devil himself. Jezebel wanted to mix the altar of Baal with the altar of Jehovah, and she sought to mix the mystery of iniquity with the mystery of godliness, and she did her best to stamp out God's men. Did she go after the prophets, the true prophets, with the sword? Absolutely. Elijah was even afraid of her. Bold Elijah. I mean, she had power. And she wanted God's worship swept aside for idolatry. And I don't think I've got the time to get into it all, but you go back to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verses 30 to 33, and Ahab married this woman who was a Zidonian and who was a Baal worshiper and brought Baalism into Israel. And God said, there's going to be a penalty for this. And he said that the dogs would lick the blood of Jezebel, and the dogs would lick the blood of Ahab. You find that in 1 Kings chapter 21, 19, 21 and 22. Certainly there needs to be a line drawn very clearly that we do not tolerate evil in the house of God and amongst our worship. We cannot mix, we cannot syncretize things together that are opposites and that God hates within the church. My wife and I think it's been a little over 3 years ago, attended a homeschool presentation, and we were aghast and actually left the presentation in the middle of it. They were portraying Joseph as a worldling. And I don't think we should be changing God's heroes for something that they're not. And to justify the world as well in the music and in the portrayal. And thirdly, there was a third defect, and that was a seduction without exclusion. And we find that in verse 20, in the last part, he says there, which calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And so Jezebel broke down all the moral boundaries within the church. Purity was a thing of the past. And cohabitation was suddenly acceptable within the church. It was, and it grieves my heart, in many churches today, it is acceptable to date the unsaved and to date the carnal. And thank God for those who take a stand against that. I would rather have our unmarried daughter stay single than to end up going against God. Certainly, they wanted to mix with their pagan neighbors. They wanted to just get along. Some think they can have a greater influence through compromise with evil, but it never works that way, folks. Once you compromise with evil, it always goes the other way, not your way, if you're going to try and stand for God. God said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate." We're not to be like the world, we're to be separate from the world. So there was this seduction to immorality. And then there was the seduction to idolatry. Jezebel corrupted the truth of God's word, and Jezebel spoiled the worship of the Lord. Jezebel sought the acceptance of pagan practices and children to be cast alive into the fire of Moloch. Our daughter has given us a gift subscription to the World Magazine. I don't know how many of you read that, but in the World Magazine, there was an article about our president and the Catholic Church, and the title of that particular article was "The President and the Pew." President Biden, years ago, he was supporting the Hyde Amendment, which said that we ought not to support abortion. And he did so until he decided that he wanted to run for president, and then he turned around a complete 180 degrees and he said, "Now I can not only acknowledge that maybe abortion is okay in some circumstances, but now," he says, "I can support it." It's very interesting what it says. Person who was pro-choice in America said and put the pressure on Joe Biden and said, "Joe Biden is trying to carve out a space for himself as the middle moderate candidate, and he's going to have to really get with the times and understand that standing with abortion rights is the middle and moderate position." Biden announced his bid for the Democratic nomination in April. On June 5th, 2019, his campaign confirmed Biden still supported the Hyde Amendment. That same day, his Democratic opponents pounced with a barrage of tweets, and all denouncing Hyde and Planned Parenthood urged him to reconsider. The next day, okay, folks, that was June 5th. The next day, on June 6th, 2019, Biden seemed conflicted, and even as he shifted, "I make no apologies for my last position, and I make no apologies for what I'm about to say," he told the crowd in Atlanta, and Biden no longer supported the Hyde Amendment. A total turnaround in one day. A typical politician. "I'm always for what my friends are for, if I can get the votes." Unfortunately, there are those in Christian circles that would do the same thing. Incidentally, the Catholic Church, who Joe Biden is a member of, has having to really debate the issue, should they allow him to have communion? And the bishops are caught in two different groups. That's usually, in fact, we shouldn't call it communion, we should call it the Eucharist, because they believe in transubstantiation. And so, here we have in America, children being offered to, as it were, Moloch in abortion as well. Evil will triumph when good men do nothing. The church at Thyatira worked for Christ. They loved Christ, but they did not stand for Christ. And evil will triumph when good men do nothing. Certainly, the prophets of God were put to death by Jezebel, and the sword. And a moral defection always leads to a doctrinal defection as well. But there was a fourth defect, and that fourth defect was exhortation without conversion. In verses 21 and on, there the Lord says, you must repent. Now is the time to repent. It says, and I gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but she did not accept it. And so the Lord begins with a series of I wills. He says, fourth I wills in verses 22 to verses 24. He says, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. The Lord says, you must repent when you go against what I have said. Certainly, there was a change that was taking place here in the Thyatira church. There was trouble coming, and there was going to be judgment. There was a fifth defect, and that was a tribulation without termination. The Lord knew who was true and who was not within the church. And a remnant within the church took their stand despite the tribulation that surrounded them because of the Lord's judgment on evil. They took their stand. They remained steadfast. And to those, he says, I will give no further burden, but remain steadfast till I come. We are living in a day where there is going to be great pressure. The Biden's administration wants to do away with religious freedom. They also have accepted and are promoting one of his cabinet officers, I believe it is promoting the transgenderism that was spoken of in this article that was from World Magazine as well. And it just on and on and on it goes against God. But though the whole world stand against God, we need to be like Athanasius and say, I will do what is right. So I think that that is so important for us today. And the Lord says, here in the last few verses, he says, and he shall rule with a rod of iron, and certainly in the kingdom he will, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. But he says, I will give him the morning star. Those that are looking forward to the coming of the Lord, one of these days he is going to appear. Amen? And what a day that will be when we see the morning star. But until we do, may we remain faithful and not compromise the truth. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We pray that it might speak to our hearts, that we might be what you desire for us. And Lord, I pray that even in the pressures of the day, that we might be steadfast. And I pray that not only we might be steadfast, but that we might be alert to those who would try to come into the church and influence the church to go in the wrong direction. Father, may we be steadfast in staying true and not compromising the truth as a church. We know that so many have already done so, but Father, we know that you have called us to be loyal and faithful. And we thank you for your faithfulness to us as we stand for you. In Jesus' name, amen.